Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Pittsburgh Steelers fans, what's going on? This is Jeff Hartman, senior editor of BehindTheSteelCurtain.com, with you for another episode of Let's Ride, your Monday, Wednesday, and Friday podcast right here as a part of BehindTheSteelCurtain.com and on our audio platform wherever you get your podcasts. And I hope that you have some great weekend plans on the docket. It's weird that this is the first weekend since the season started that there's no Steelers game this upcoming weekend, whether it's Saturday or Sunday in the divisional round of the playoffs. This has always been my favorite weekend for the playoffs. I've conference championship weekend is great, but this is when you still have a full slate of games. It's the last time you get games on Saturday and more than one game on Saturday, more than one game on Sunday. It's just a great time, and I wish the Steelers were still playing, but we all know how that panned out last Sunday night. We've talked about it at length here, both at BehindTheSteelCurtain.com and our audio platform. So, okay, before we go any further, I got to say, like, if you're like, Jeff sounds different, I've been a little under the weather the past few days. Definitely feel like I'm on the mend. I feel like the worst is behind me. But still, if I sound a little different, a little strained, voice is just really, really sore. So bear with me. We're going to get through this. We're going to talk about a lot of Steelers things here in the first half and the second half. Our favorite Canadian, Michael Beck. Yeah, he surpassed Chase Claypool this season. And Sean Swisham. So, you know, he's going to join. We're going to talk about picks. We're going to talk about the divisional game. We're going to talk about all things Steelers coming up with what could be a crazy and hectic offseason. So make sure you stay tuned for all that. And as I always finish out Fridays, a heart-to-heart at the very end of this podcast. So, okay, folks, let's buckle up. Let's get this show on the road. I thought about a lot of things this week, and I do have random thoughts. That's going to remain. You know, usually this is the what do the Steelers have to do to win podcast. We're not doing that. They don't play. Random thoughts is coming up right before the break, but I want to talk about something else. So this week, it's kind of been, I kind of hate the way they're doing it, but I understand. As players are leaving Pittsburgh and going back to wherever they live, wherever they call home, they're having these interviews with Steelers.com. Media are asking questions. And this used to be just a locker room session where the players were in there cleaning out their lockers. Media would be able to come in and they'd be able to ask a whole bunch of questions. And then you'd get some stories out of it, but because of the protocols and so forth, that's just not the way it works anymore. So they have, man, Trey Norwood's up, and then after that, it's Akello Witherspoon, and then it's Dwayne Haskins. And so you're almost bombarded with all of this information, and fans are just getting, you know, bits and pieces from Twitter and beat writers that are on the calls. You can go to Steelers.com or the app, and you can watch a lot of these kind of exit interviews, so to speak, with the media. And I've watched a good many of them. And the one thing, the one talking point that remains consistent with Steeler fans has been the quarterback situation. And I understand it. I get it. Ben Roethlisberger is not coming back. And this is the first time in Mike Tomlin's tenure that he is going to have to find the next quarterback. And it's by choice. It's not a situation where Ben Roethlisberger's injured a la 2019. And so then he has to find, you know, Mason Rudolph, Devlin Hodges came in. He has to find the next quarterback. the more people talk about this, and then you see these mock drafts come up. Mel Kiper Jr. has Matt Corral of Mississippi going to Pittsburgh. Other people have the North Carolina quarterback going to Pittsburgh. Others have Kenny Pickett. Others have Willis, the Liberty quarterback. I'm still learning a lot of these players. I don't follow college football, but still, everyone wants to talk about the quarterback position, and I get it. I really do understand it. However, and this is the title of this podcast, the quarterback position is far from the top priority this offseason. And I've said it before, and I'll say it again, that the quarterback position is the most important position in all of sports. More than a point guard in basketball, more than a goalie in hockey, more than a pitcher in baseball. It is the most important and valued position in all of sport. And yet it's not the priority. You might be thinking Jeff's a little crazy. You have to find your quarterback. You have to be able to do that. And I understand that the sentiment amongst fans is they need to find that player right now. But the one thing that the Steelers need to do first is they need to polish the rest of the lineup and the rest of their team first. And mainly, especially on offense. And so I go back to this past offseason, so the before the 2021 NFL draft. Myself and Michael Beck, we were screaming from the rooftops that the Pittsburgh Steelers should make a play to draft Trey Lance out of North Dakota State. And we gave some compelling arguments. I talked about how he didn't have a senior season because they shut down that league. He only played in one game. I talked about how that would maybe make teams hesitant to make a play for him. I talked about how the Steelers would be able to have him with Ben. He wouldn't have to play right away. I mean, we gave some, in my opinion, some really legitimate options and reasons why the Steelers should go after a player like Lance. And the whole time, Dave Schofield, editor behind the Steel Curtain and host of the Stat Geek, make sure you check out that podcast on Thursday morning about TJ Watt. Fantastic. Give it a good listen. You won't regret it. Dave would always say the same thing. You don't want to draft a quarterback until you have the rest of the line intact, meaning you don't want to draft a quarterback and have him get killed behind an offensive line. Instead, go in reverse. Build the lineup, then get your quarterback in there that's going to be able to thrive with that offensive line and that offensive unit. When you think about it in this aspect, think back to 2004. For those that are old enough to remember, Ben Roethlisberger's rookie season. So it's week two at Baltimore. Tommy Maddox goes down. Roethlisberger gets inserted into the game, throws two touchdowns, looks okay. They end up losing that football game, but after that, he did not lose another game until the AFC Championship game. Rattled off 15 straight wins. And the reason being is that they had a really good defense, number one, and they had a really good offensive line and running game that the rookie quarterback could lean on. If you can remember, back in 2004, they did not ask Roethlisberger to win them many football games that season. They were literally saying, Ben, just as Mike Tomlin would put it, he didn't kill us. That was kind of like the motto for Ben's rookie season. I'm not suggesting that a rookie should be able to come in and do that, but they need to get the offensive line, they need to get that defense up to snuff before they consider actually making a play for who they think is their future franchise quarterback. And Dave was right. I am man enough to admit that Dave Schofield was right when he said, you don't want to make a play for a guy like Lance and give up valuable trade or draft capital only to find out that even as talented as someone like Trey Lance is, he can't operate behind an offensive line that is kind of suspect. But there's so much more to it than that. This quarterback class, I mean, Sam Howell is the North Carolina quarterback, talked about Coral Willis. There's a couple others. Strong, I think, is another name. It's just not a really good draft class for quarterbacks. Quarterbacks will be taken in the first round. Anyone that's out there thinking this is a draft class, there might not be a quarterback taken in the first round. That is BS, in my opinion, because I think there's always going to be a quarterback. There's always going to be a team that doesn't want to miss a quarterback that could change their team, change the dynamic of their organization, because that's what a good quarterback does. A good quarterback changes the entire organization, the way other players view you in terms of free agency, the way other teams approach you as an opponent. That is a big deal. And this is a weak quarterback class. I don't think the Steelers should reach. You know, the pick number 20, which is what the Steelers have in the 2022 NFL draft, there is still some value there. I would say there's a tremendous value. It's a first-round pick, people. I mean, when you think about the logistics of the NFL draft, you're talking about the top 32 players in college football going in the first round. The top 32. It doesn't matter the position. If you're the first offensive guard taken, you are viewed by that NFL team as the best offensive guard in the nation. And so don't sit there and tell me that, oh, a 20th, the Steelers, it's just the 20th pick. Get out of here. 20, there's a lot of value at 20. There is a lot of value at 20, but I don't think the Steelers should cave with the glitz of a quarterback if they don't feel that the guy that they would be selecting is the future. Now, we can always sit here and say that it's easy to look at maybe someone like a Kenny Pickett or a Willis from Liberty and say, I feel like this player could be the future, and it doesn't pan out. We've seen it with Mitch Trubisky, a number of other quarterbacks taken in the first round that, for whatever reason, it just doesn't work out. That could certainly happen, but I don't think the Steelers should reach. Don't reach at a position, especially one like quarterback. Free agency is a possibility at the quarterback position. We've talked about, you know, players like Marcus Mariota. Some have tossed around the idea of Derek Carr coming in, and that's a viable option, I guess. I just don't see it. I just don't see it happening. It's a possibility, but look, don't be shocked when the Steelers go into offseason workouts with Mason Rudolph, Joshua Dobbs, and Dwayne Haskins as their three quarterbacks. Just don't be shocked. That's all I'm saying. Don't be shocked. And, I mean, when you think about it, there are Steeler fans out there that are like, oh, they should get Gardner Minshew. And it's not that I don't think Gardner Minshew can't win games. I think he can win games. Put him on the right team, Minshew mania can take over. But to me, he reminds me of like a Tommy Maddox. He's more mobile, but it's kind of like a flash in the pan era. We always talk about the Tommy Gunn era, which I loved. That era for me, I was, man, that was when I just went to college. I was with a lot of fraternity brothers that loved the Steelers, too. There were some great times watching Tommy Maddox and the Steelers. Some frustrating times, but there were some great times. That's kind of what it feels like with some of these players. I can see the Steelers, to be honest with you, to kind of wrap up this part of the show, I can see the Steelers saying we're not going to draft a quarterback because we aren't in love with any of them, and we don't think they're worth what other teams are willing to give up for him, meaning they're not going to take a quarterback at 20 because they value maybe an offensive guard or a center more so than that quarterback at that position. And then once you get into the second and third round, you're talking about quarterbacks that are not likely to be the guy in the future. And so they'll roll with Mason Rudolph for a year. Use this salary cap space to bolster the rest of the lineup. And then you can go after maybe it's a free agent. Maybe it's a rookie that's coming in that you're like, okay, this kid can play, and we can make a play for him. They have options, and I think that's the, if I were a betting man, that's the route I think the Steelers will take. I think they will take the route of not going after a free agent. Maybe in the draft, if things go their way, I'm talking about in the second round there's a quarterback that slips, maybe they take that quarterback in the second round. We'll see. But I think they're going to be like, okay, Mason Rudolph has been here for 4 years. He's going into his fifth year. He knows the system. We know what we have in Mason Rudolph, his limitations, and he's also never really had a chance to show himself. People talk about 2019. He was essentially a rookie. Drafted in 2018, he didn't even dress for a game. So you can talk about, well, we saw enough in 2019. That would be like saying that a rookie quarterback who was still able to win you football games is a bum after one season, in a season where he was unbelievably concussed against Baltimore at Heinz Field, if you forget that game. And that was the game where, the safety, you former Seahawk, his name escapes me right now, hits him high in the head, and he was not the same after that. So for me, I think the Steelers are going to take a shot rolling the dice with Mason Rudolph and see how it goes. The quarterback position, though, is not the top priority for the Steelers this offseason. This offseason, it is getting the rest of the lineup together. Because guess what? In my opinion, if we're going to talk about my prediction of the Steelers going with Mason Rudolph, if you give Mason Rudolph a really good running game, a really good offensive line, and a defense that can hold their own, I think he can win football games. Is he going to win you a Super Bowl? I don't know. Probably not. But he can win you a lot of football games. I do believe that. Honest to goodness truth. All right, let's go over some random thoughts before we take a break here. Number one, I was thinking about this the other day, and I put it on Twitter. Had some good responses from my ride or die crew. You know, the Steelers have a lot of question marks this offseason. Quarterback position is one of them. To me, I think one of the biggest questions for the Steelers this offseason is, what in the world is up with Stephon Tuitt? Yeah, this is a guy that missed all of 2021. So what in the world are we talking about? Okay, 2021 is gone. Didn't play a snap. Is he going to be playing in 2022? Think about the ripple effect. Let's say Stephon Tuitt comes in and says, hey, I'm sorry, guys. Like, I did have a knee injury. My mind wasn't right. I'm coming back and be ready to go. Well, if that's the case, and we already know that Tyson Alualu is coming back, he put that on social media. If that's the case, then I feel like the Steelers' defensive line, they don't need to go out and draft someone at 20. Because if you have Tuitt, Alualu, Cam Hayward, obviously, can't believe I forgot his name, Montrevious Adams, bring him back. Chris Wormley's under contract. You have Isaiah Loudermilk. I think that's a really good defensive front. I honestly do. So that changes everything. But if Stephon Tuitt says, I don't know if I'm going to be able to play, and the Steelers say, then we are going to have to cut you. We gave you 2021, and you can't just sit here and collect a check because maybe it's your knee, maybe it's your mind, whatever the case is, we need you on the field. And so business is rough sometimes, but that's the biggest question mark. No one's really talking about it either. There's a ripple effect there. Next, let's go with Mason Rudolph's interview. I watched it, 17 minutes worth of Mason Rudolph being interviewed by the media. And there were some fans like, oh my gosh, Mason Rudolph, he's so arrogant. He's making it sound like it's his job. Okay, he's been the backup for 4 years. And why wouldn't he view it as his job? He's been in the system. He's gotten opportunities. I would want him to think it's his job. I don't understand what people are upset about. They're like, oh, but this is one of those situations where Mason Rudolph, he's just being arrogant. Okay, people, calm yourselves down. I want a player that's confident. If Mason Rudolph sat there in an interview and said, well, you know, good Lord willing, I'm just going to show up and hopefully things work out for me, I'd be like, dude, where is this guy's confidence? I want him to say, this is my job. This is the first time that I'm going to be coming into camp, and there's not going to be a future Hall of Famer standing in my way. And that's exactly what he said, and that's what he should have said. So I was glad to hear Mason Rudolph say that. I hope he wins the job. I don't care. Win the job. Be a good quarterback. Have the Steelers say, wow, we found our answer right here. We didn't even know we had it. Maybe that happens. I don't know. Next, let's go the next random thought. Oh, speculation season, people. This is what I hate about the offseason. Speculation season has officially begun. This is when you see those articles and you see those people on Twitter that are just spouting off nonsense about, oh, well, you know, the Steelers could go after this player. And next thing you know, rumors start to swirl. Be cautious is what I'm saying. Be cautious with some of the stuff you see and read and even hear on the airwaves or on Twitter or social media as it pertains to the Steelers' offseason plans, unless you're hearing it from a Jeremy Fowler of ESPN, Tom Pelissero of NFL Network, Ian Rappaport, Jay Glazer, and even some of those guys, I'm not really hanging on to every word that they put out there. But still, the speculative reports and stuff are what can absolutely kill a fan base. Be cautious. That's all I'm going to say. Lastly, I hope that you are prepared for a dull start to the offseason. It's something I talked about on Wednesday. I was asked about it. And they said, oh, I'm really excited for this offseason. Yeah, I get it. It's going to be exciting. What are they going to do with quarterback? General manager, is Colbert coming back? What about the coordinators, the offensive line coach? If you're expecting like this upcoming week to be just, oh my gosh, balls of fire crazy, they're making moves, they're firing coaches, be prepared for a dull start to the offseason. I would expect coaches to be retained. I would expect very little waves in the Steelers' ocean. I think that they're going to try to keep things as calm as possible, as consistent as possible, because that's just what they do. So if you're waiting for the big news to break, don't hold your breath. All right, I'll tell you what. That's enough of the random thoughts for today. When I come back, Michael Beck will be joining me. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
It's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
All right, Pittsburgh Steelers fans, welcome back to the second segment of Let's Ride. It is Friday, and that means we have our favorite Canadian, our favorite Canuck, not the Vancouver Canucks because they're awful, but Michael Beck joins us. What's up, Michael? How's it going?
I was doing okay until that shot towards my hockey team, but no, you're right. They stink, but I'm doing good. How are you, Jeff?
I'm doing great. The Penguins are playing great, so I'm great. Anyways, enough hockey talk. Let's get right to the action, and that's the Pittsburgh Steelers. Michael, let's talk about the game last week. I know it seems like eons ago, but I haven't talked to you about the game. And I know you talked about it on the curtain call, which is officially back after the regular season's over. What was your overall takeaway from the game on Sunday night and the 42-21 loss?
Well, I think that game was kind of just a microcosm for the season. The Steelers were a team that struggled mightily to move the ball on offense, especially in the first half. They're a team that struggled to kind of defend the run as well. Like all of these kind of things that affected this team all year long were the same problems that happened in this game. So I feel like you can really point to this game to be like, if you wanted to talk about what the 2021-22 Steelers were, just watch that wild card weekend game. That's basically what they were. They're a team that won games they shouldn't. But in road scenarios against better opponents, they crumbled. And that's kind of what we got. So it was it tough to watch? Absolutely. Am I surprised now that it's over? No, not at all. That's kind of the game we probably should have expected to have happen.
Okay, Mike, well, I've known you now for several years, and you know that I am the eternal optimist when it comes to the Steelers. Yep. Always have been and always will be. The offense was putrid. No one's going to suggest that. But don't you think there's a little something that the Steelers can take away on the defensive side and the fact that they stymied the Chiefs, maybe more so than anyone else has since they started their winning streak, probably about midway through the regular season, up until they literally just could not hold the dam back anymore. And then the dam broke loose and everything else changed. I mean, do you think there's anything about the Steelers defense that they can carry into the offseason and say, you know what, we were missing some really key pieces here. You know, Stephon Tuitt, Tyson Alualu, that's a big part of your run defense right there. And we actually held them in check until literally we just couldn't do it anymore. Is there anything like that for you? Because I kind of feel that way about the defense.
Yeah, absolutely. I think one of the biggest problems this defense had was how bad the offense was. They couldn't keep the ball. And you can tell there's a point in every game where the defense just started to look tired. And that happened pretty early. Like, obviously, TJ's touchdown. Right after that, the dam broke. But like, you got to keep in mind, TJ's touchdown came on defense. The defense was out there. They had two plays in between, and they're right back on the field. And then Kansas City dialed it up. And the Steelers' offense continued to go three and out. They were exhausted. Like if the Steelers had like a competent offense, could the defense have parlayed what they did in the first quarter for four quarters? It seemed like they had like they're an effort based defense. Those guys bust their butts to make the play. But when you're constantly on the field and you don't get a time to recover, that's what happens. Like you just get heavy legs and now you're chasing and all of a sudden these guys are running past you that you're able to shut down earlier in games. So I think this defense, they could pretty much roll the same guys, just get healthy and roll the same defense next year. And they could be one of the best units in football if the Steelers' offense is able to give them some rest. The offense was horrid in that first half and absolutely crushed the physical well-being of the defense, being able to like stay with those Chiefs receivers, especially with how much speed they have. So, yeah, I know I have a lot of optimism towards this defense because really the offense is one of the reasons that held them back.
Yeah, no, you're right. And so the Steelers now go into an offseason, which is both daunting. I talked about that earlier in the week on my Let's Ride podcast. And it's also exciting in a lot of ways. I laid out in the first half of the show, Michael, that my early prediction for how the Steelers are going to handle this offseason. And I want to get your take on it. I suggested that the Steelers are not going to make any moves at quarterback. I don't think they're going to draft a quarterback in this draft. I don't think they bring in a big name free agent. I think that they're essentially going to use their cap space to try to bolster the rest of the lineup and to go into this upcoming season with Mason Rudolph as your QB1. Now, if they're able to achieve that goal, and what I mean by that is if they're able to improve the offensive line through free agency and the draft, bolster the run defense, get some key pieces in the secondary that might be missing. If Mason Rudolph is the quarterback, how far can this team go if they can improve those things?
Yeah, honestly, I feel like they might be able to do a little bit more than they did this past year. Like, one of the things I brought up with Jeffrey Benedict on Curtain Call was, look at what Najee Harris was able to do with one of the worst offensive lines, not just this year, but like a historically bad offensive line. If the Steelers had a run game and they're able to give Mason Rudolph some time to stand in the pocket, like, I don't think they're like unseating the Bengals right now, who kind of seem to be kind of the team on the rise in the division. I don't see them as a Super Bowl contender, but I could still see them making the playoffs once again as a wild card team. Could they get an upset in there? Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised. Like, they're not winning a Super Bowl with subpar quarterback play. Like, that's just the way the league is built now, with how protected quarterbacks are, how prevalent the passing game is. But then again, there's nothing wrong with the Steelers having a year of, all right, let's figure out this roster before we can actually draft a proper quarterback that costs next to nothing because he's on a rookie contract, and have this great roster around him that already has some chemistry. So I would be surprised if that's what the Steelers did. I'm still of the belief that there will be some third option, and the Steelers will have kind of like a three-way battle. Whether or not that could be like Marcus Mariota, which I know you love, or or like some fourth round draft pick, or heck, even a first round draft pick, remains to be seen. But I feel like there'll be one more name added to this mix here, and just kind of a big, just battle it out in training camp and see how it goes. So it'll be one of those things. It's going to be the topic that Steeler fans will talk about all offseason long, and probably all of next offseason long too. This quarterback spot is something that will be discussed, debated, and picked apart for months and months to come.
Well, let's talk about Mason Rudolph for a second. You know, people always go back to 2019, which he was essentially a rookie. He didn't even dress for a game in 2018. 2019, he gets thrust into the lineup when Ben goes down in week two against Seattle. And people forget also the vicious concussion he had in Heinz Field against Baltimore. And he wasn't the same since. There's a lot of criticism out there based on preseason play. You think that's a little presumptuous that he's going to be absolutely awful if he actually has an entire offseason and preseason as the guy? Or do you think that we've seen the best of Mason Rudolph?
I still think there is another rung to his game. Like, he can like be better than what he's shown. And like, a lot of people will point to that Detroit Lions game too, but what people don't keep in mind is it was a monsoon at Heinz Field that day, on a grass field, and receivers and running backs and everyone was fumbling, and the Steelers defense was struggling to stop the run. It just was a bad day overall. It's impossible to grade a quarterback based on a game like that. And then in the preseason, he's not getting like your starters, your premium guys on the field. And again, yeah, I don't really think it's been fair, some of the criticism he's gotten, because he's not been put in very good situations. But, like, again, like, am I saying Mason Rudolph is going to be a top 20 quarterback next year? Probably not. But was Ben Roethlisberger top quarterback this year, top 20 quarterback this year? I think we can all agree that Ben struggled, especially down the stretch. So, I feel like there is something more to his game, especially because he's never really had a full training camp to be the starter and get all those reps. I know he gets the Wednesday reps when Ben takes his vet days off. But aside from that, like, he hasn't gotten those situations to actually kind of grow his game even further. And I know the receivers respect him. They like him. Like, you see them like hanging out on social media and whatnot. So I think he has the respect of the room. So I think that's a big factor as to why he should deserve to get a crack.
Well, and I think that a lot of receivers look at him and say, this is a guy that he can, I hate to say this about Roethlisberger, but at the end of his career, he couldn't make all the throws, not anymore, no. You know, and this is a guy that right now in his age, he has the arm strength and the arm talent to make all the throws. So Pat Freiermuth, he's got to be sitting there thinking, yeah, let's get this guy in here, because I bet he's going to throw me the football more down the middle, down the seam. And that's a throw that Roethlisberger just didn't want to make for a variety of reasons as well. But I mean, I guess I just want to get your take on Mason Rudolph. Let's go to the other side of the docket here. And that's not the docket in terms of offense and defense, but the other player who's in-house who might be competing for that. And that's Dwayne Haskins. There are a lot of people that aren't giving him a shot either. What do you think about Dwayne Haskins? Is he a viable option for the Steelers, or is this just kind of like, we gave him a shot, we're going to bring him in, we'll see what he can do, but we're not really expecting much?
Yeah, I'm feeling it more of the latter here. Obviously, I believe he just dressed that one game against Detroit when he was the backup, right, and not getting a lot of practice reps. And he's just one of those guys where you couldn't have gotten him on your team any cheaper. And of course, him being an RFA status player, keeping him any cheaper. So like, why not? He had first round pedigree, but he's really not done anything to show me, at least, that he's that much more improved from his Washington football team days. So it'll just be one of those things where I don't know if Haskins is any better than Mason Rudolph, but considering how fans react, at least on social media, I know there's going to be a vocal support group for Haskins to get those opportunities. So I'm interested to see how it plays out, but I definitely think Mason Rudolph is QB1 right now. I think Haskins is number two, and it will be hard for him to supplant Rudolph in that one spot. Again, I mentioned earlier, I still think there's going to be some third option. It could be a Tyrod Taylor. Who knows? Just some journeyman guy that's brought in as kind of a vet support to be the primary backup for Mason Rudolph, for all we know. So I think the real battle probably lays with who else is brought into this team.
Would you say that Mason Rudolph and Dwayne Haskins both fit Matt Canada's scheme more so than what we saw this year?
I'd say so. I think Ben obviously has stuff that he's comfortable with. He's someone that's more a guy that would have a receiver just be like, okay, run the dig because you're up against this corner and this corner struggles against that. Whereas a Matt Canada offense is more like, this is the scheme. We don't care who's lined up on the other side. We're running the scheme. And I think that's something younger players kind of adapt better to. Big Ben, he was backyard Ben for so many years. And that's not what these younger guys are. That's not what the offensive scheme was. So I definitely foresee the offense, at least play calling and amongst the quarterback and coordinator, being better. That's one of the reasons why I haven't been someone that's like, oh, you have to fire Matt Canada. I don't think Matt Canada's gotten a fair shake. And I know that's something that we've already talked about a bunch over the days since that playoff loss. But I think in terms of will it be better with these younger guys, I think it will.
All right, let's do some. Let's talk about the divisional round here. There's four games. I said this at the beginning of the show. This is my favorite weekend for the playoffs. It always has been. The divisional round. That's when you get the teams on a bye are involved, and it's just you normally get some really good matchups. So let's go over our game picks. You ready, Michael?
Let's do it.
All right, here we go. We'll start off on Saturday at 4:30 p.m. Eastern time. The Cincinnati Bengals go to the top seeded Tennessee Titans. The Titans are expected to have Derrick Henry back, and they are giving 3.5. to Cincinnati. What do you think about this one?
I just have a feeling that this, after a weekend of blowouts, I think we're going to get some tighter game action. I feel like Tennessee wins this game, but I think Cincinnati has enough juice to cover the spread. I think Derrick Henry's going to obviously be a huge difference maker. I'm not sure if that Bengals defense has the bodies to take him down play after play for four straight quarters if he's able to do that. So I like the Titans in the game, but give me the Bengals with the extra points.
That's what I'm thinking too. The Cincinnati Bengals, boy, they've got some mojo going on right now. I'm going to take the Bengals getting 3.5 on the road. It makes me sick to my stomach that they could possibly be in the AFC championship game. But I think they're a team that's playing with a ton of confidence right now. So I've got the Bengals. Just quick, over-unders at 47.5. What are you thinking there?
Oh, that's a tough call. I'm going to go with the under. I'm someone who typically plays the under, especially because the running game of either team should be able to keep the clock running. So I think it'll be a little bit lower scoring.
I'm going to take the over. This could be a shootout. I'm just saying, be forewarned. All right, then we go to Saturday at 8:15 p.m. San Francisco 49ers go to the Green Bay Packers. Top-seeded Packers are playing, and they are giving 5.5 to the traveling 49ers. San Francisco barely got by Dallas. That was an ugly game last week. You think the San Francisco 49ers keep it close enough to cover that 5.5?
No, I don't. I think typically when teams from warm climates have to go up and play teams from the frozen tundra, literally, of Lambeau Field, it affects them greater than the home team. We saw that with the LA Rams years prior. Really, the only team that I've seen from a warm climate that wasn't affected by it was those Tampa Bay Buccaneers that won the Super Bowl last year. But I don't think that's the case with Jimmy G and those California boys. I think they're going to go up there, freeze their butts off, and get handed one by Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers. So give me the Packers minus the extra 5.5.
I agree. Packers minus 5.5. What about the over-under at 47.5 again? You like the over or the under?
I like the over because I think Green Bay is going to score a lot.
Nope. That would be a lot, yeah. I'm going to take the under in this one because of the elements, because of the weather. Jimmy G, I'm not sold on him yet. So I'm going to take the under of 47.5. All right, Sunday at 3 o'clock, The LA Rams go to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Pretty good contest here. LA is getting 2.5. This spread was a surprise to me. They're in Tampa and the Rams are, you know, they're getting 2.5. What do you think here?
This is one of the games of the year. Honestly, I'm very excited for this one. I think it comes down to how well Matthew Stafford plays, if he can play up for the moment. So I am going to take the Rams +2.5. I feel like they can win this game. I doubt this comes down to a 1-point game. This feels like more of a pick 'em to me. I know Tampa Bay's gotten heated up a bit as the year kind of went on, but I don't know. I just have this feeling about this Rams team being able to be one that could potentially go on a run. And if that's how it shakes down, I'd love to see how they do going to Green Bay.
I agree. I have the Rams +2.5. Over-unders at 48.5, Michael. What do you like there, over-under?
I like the over. These are two high-powered offenses. Defense are pretty good, but you can only stop so much in the modern NFL.
I agree. I have the over as well. Let's go to the final game at 6:30 p.m. on Sunday. The Buffalo Bills, Kansas City Chiefs in Arrowhead. This is the game I'm most excited for. It should be a high-powered affair. Buffalo is actually getting 1.5 points on the road. Again, this is tough because you don't know which Buffalo Bills team is going to show up. We've seen them look like juggernauts last week against New England. We've also seen them lay complete eggs when they're away from home. Michael, how do you see this one shaking out?
Yes, this is going to be one of those games. I feel like the Bills draw from their experience from last year, and I think they win this game because of what happened last year. I don't think the Chiefs are as good as they have been over the last couple of years where they've advanced to the Super Bowl. I feel like they're ripe for the picking in this one. I think Buffalo, honestly, I feel like they're the team to kind of watch out for here in the AFC. I like the Bills here. I think they're kind of starting to get better at the right time of the year. They've been kind of been up and down all year long, but that was a statement win over New England, who previously beat them throwing the ball 3 times in a game. So I think Buffalo is starting to move in the right direction. Give me the Bills plus a couple points.
Okay, I like the Chiefs at home. I think that they kind of rediscovered something in themselves after they woke up against Pittsburgh. So I actually have the Chiefs giving 1.5. The over-under here is at 53.5, Michael. You taking the over or the under?
Oh, this is a tough call, but I feel like both teams are kind of built on scoring a bunch of points. I'm taking the over. A part of me wants to say the under, but I feel like both teams score in the 30s. I think this is going to be a high-scoring shootout affair.
I'm actually going to go under. I think that it's going to be a high-scoring game. But even if it's, you know, in the mid-20s, that's still the under. So that's 53.5 is a high line. So yeah. I like the Chiefs and the under. So, all right, Michael, any final thoughts before we let you go?
Yeah, you know, it was a tough way to close out the season for the Steelers. I know a lot of us kind of got more and more excited for that game as last week went on, especially a crescendo of TJ Watt's touchdown. Obviously, they're a team that's kind of a work in progress, really. But this can be an exciting offseason. So I know we all love to plug the website, but BTSC, we're going to be all over all these moves that the Steelers need to make and all of our thoughts and what is actually going to come down the pipeline. So just be dialed into behindthesteelcurtain.com.
Absolutely. And Michael, I'll see you next Friday. Take it easy.
Yeah, we'll see you then.
All righty. And a big thank you to Michael Beck for taking the time, as he always does, to talk about the Steelers, to talk about the picks and all that stuff. I really enjoy it. We're going to be doing this all off season. So if you enjoy this Friday segment, make sure you continue to check back because he's not going anywhere and we appreciate his time. As we always finish out every Friday show, is a little heart to heart. And this week, the heart to heart is that there is a lot of unknown out there in the Steelers off season. It's one of those situations where you're looking at the Steelers and there's just so many gaping holes. Free agents, quarterback, coaches, general manager. As a fan, in speaking to you, the fan, be patient. Be patient. Understand that some of these moves and some of these decisions take time. The new league year does not start till March 16th. Now, they can sign their own free agents anytime before that. Don't expect that to happen. Someone like Terrell Edmonds. Why? Terrell Edmonds has every right to check and test the free agent waters. So the Steelers could certainly go to his representation, his agent, and say, hey, we want to bring Terrell back. We understand if you want to check the free agent waters. Here's our best offer right now. And they slide a piece of paper across the desk or the proverbial desk and they send an email or something. But he's going to want to test the waters. It's very rare that you see a player say, I just want to be here. Maybe he does. I don't know. But they have time before the tampering period starts on the 14th of March, and then those moves become official on the 16th. They have time. Be patient. Don't be upset if a coach is retained or anything like that. Be patient. Trust the process. I know that's difficult, especially since the team hasn't won a playoff game since 2017, but I think this team will be just fine if they make the right moves this offseason, and we're going to be with you every single step of the way. That does it for me, folks. I hope you have a great weekend planned. I hope that you're ready for the NFL action this weekend. Make sure you're checking out BehindTheSteelCurtain.com. It should be your one-stop shop for all things Steelers. On top of that, wherever you get your podcasts, search Steelers or Behind the Steel Curtain. Subscribe, follow, whatever you have to do so that you don't miss a thing, especially on Spotify. Hey, thank you, Spotify listeners. You got us over 200 ratings and reviews on that app. That's fantastic. Apple Podcasts only has like 257. That's ridiculous. Apple Podcast users, get your butts to the app and give us a 5-star rating. We really appreciate it. All right, you know how I finish out here. Be safe, be kind, and God bless. Have a great weekend, everyone. We'll see you back on Monday. Take it easy.